Okay, let's give a hand to the team. They always do an amazing job. Oh, that hand was not, come on, you know. Not. It's not a Dutch hand. It has to be more international hand. Hey, always a pleasure to be here. For those that are new here, welcome. You're welcome. I hope you feel at home. It's always good to see that the church is growing, that people are coming, and you know, as you can see, we're very. I have my water. I have two now. Good. It's good to see that we are very. You know, growing. The family is growing. We're becoming very international, and I believe that the reason because of that is because God has not put us in a country just to be one country, but really to bring kingdom culture into a country where we're based. So we're blessed to be in the Netherlands, but we're also blessed to be part of many different cultures. And I love to sit in this room and I just be able to see many people from many different colors, many different backgrounds, every single thing. One thing that is for sure when you come to our church is we're going to have good food. Because when there's international people, it's good food. Sorry, the Dutch, you're not included in there. No, some food is okay, but no, you know, but it just makes us more rich in what we have and what we do. So we always love to have a family, and hopefully you feel welcome if you're here for the first time. Again, we believe in a church that is making a difference, and church should be to make a difference. Not only your church, but the church in the world should be here to make a difference and transform nations. Because the purpose of church is not just to hang out on Sundays and have a nice life and a nice little sort of ritual, religious ritual that we have for 1.5 hours, 2 hours. And after that, we go home and we just live life. We actually believe that church is here to transform lives so that we can transform a nation, so that we can bring kingdom culture into the, you know, perspective of what God had created here the world to be. Now, a lot of us might think, oh, you know, I just only go to church. But we believe we're in a church where you have to be the church. So we always preach and we always speak, and everything we do it not for the Sunday. We actually do it for the whole week. So hopefully every time that you come to church, you're going to be, you know, it's like a charger, like a battery charger. You know, you plug into the God energy, the God spirit, the Holy Spirit, and you plug into the good people around you and people that are going to believe for you and believe the best in you. And after that, you're ready for Monday, Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You know, because that's what it's about. It's not about Sunday. Sunday is just about us celebrating together and bringing the message of salvation. But the rest of the week, it's about bringing difference into the world. So when that in mind, we've been speaking about different things, and we've been talking about what makes a difference in your life. And I believe there's 4 important foundations that we have in every single one of our lives. And we've been talking about different things. So one of them is spiritual. I believe when you are a spiritual being, you have to be strong and believing that God has made us spiritual. No wonder now that in the business world, there's this big sense of like, oh, you know what? We look for profit. We look at improving processes. But now they're realizing the importance of looking at what they call mindfulness in the business world, which in reality, it is just spiritual knowledge and spiritual understanding, because we've been created to have a spiritual understanding, and we know that God has created us so that we can have a connection with Him. And that's what we believe in church. But another thing is relationships. And we talked about it last time I was talking here, how important it is to have relationships. First, with God, your creator. The next is with yourself. How good are you with yourself? And then making the right decisions to have the relationships that you have around you. And another one of the pillars, the strong pillars in your life, is health. You know, how many of us are we taking care of our health? Because God wants us to be good stewards of our body so we can go long-lasting life. And, you know, and I am one of the confessions, I have to say, that's probably one of the areas where I love food, and I love a lot of it. And that's not very good for me. So, you know, you can see it. I used to be in teams of track and field and sports and, you know, tennis competitions. And I used to do all that. In fact, I used to go on the national championships before. Yeah, believe it or not. That was a long time ago. But as now, yeah. Again, you married, everything's done. That's what happens. No, but, you know, when God brings us that, we need to understand also there's a sense of health. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that later on. But there's another very important area apart from those three. that I believe is very important that we talk about, and the one that I'm very passionate about. And that area in our lives is money. And the funny thing is that church, and in fact everywhere, they don't teach us and we don't talk about money. In fact, in many cultures that I've been part of it, we believe that money is like a, you know, sort of like a hidden thing. No one talks about money. At home, no one talks about money. In around with your friends, no one talks about money because everybody's there, very sensitive thing, including here in the Netherlands. When, oh, someone's, is that right? Cool. The Holy Spirit. Okay. So when we believe that the church is there to speak about the relevant things in life. So today I want to talk to you about a very important thing that's been in my life, that it's about the revelation on what is the importance of money in the world, but also what is the importance of money in my life, and what is the importance of money in the whole generational thinking. Because believe it or not, we're here to make a difference in other generations. I don't know how many of you are thinking that when you die, you're going to take everything that you bought with you to the tomb. Imagine if you do that. You know, how big the hole needs to be in order to get everything in. You know, I don't think any one of us will get, when we all die, because we're all going to die, unless you guys have some secret. We're all going to die, that's for sure. So when we die, the question that I have is, what have you left in the world will remember you for? Have you left your Ferrari at home? You know what's going to happen? Either someone's going to crash it, someone's going to sell it, or someone's not going to remember you for it. You know, I hope that we understand that when it comes to finance, God is very specific and he's very clear about what we need to do. And it hurts me to see that we live in a world where people don't see it. You know, I'm in education, and I see that a lot of families, we spend years and years educating people about mathematics, trigonometry and calculus. You know, I started engineering, 4 years of mathematics, horrible. Well, I like mathematics, so it was not horrible for me. But 4 years of mathematics. Do you know how many times have I applied one single thing of that I learned? None. Because the computers now, you just do it, and then they're like, oh, wow. So I killed myself learning all these principles so that I don't use them anymore. But you know how many times do we teach our kids and our family about the finance, about how important finance is and how to use finance? None. Zero. There's no program in the world that says this is the way you should think and manage your finances. And I think church is the best place to be, because if everyone else is speaking about how to do relationships, the world is saying how to do relationships, the world is telling you how to do your health, the world is telling you how to do everything, well, the world is also telling you how to manage your money. And the way the world is saying how to manage your money is like, give me, give me, give me, you know? Like, you probably don't know, but I'm a business teacher, and one of the things is about marketing. And marketers are actually looking at what you do. They're telling you what to do. You might think, oh, no, that's not true. Well, you're being observed. And with technology, it's even easier. People know, if you ask our, good father Google, they can tell you where you've been, where you shopped, how much time you spend in that shop, how much time you use. They can even go and look, if you have enough data analysis, you can go into how much did you spend and what type of products did you buy, so that you can actually change everything the way you use your money. So someone is telling you how to use your money without you realizing. So the importance of us, when it comes to church, is that we want to talk about what God says about money. And again, this is not a giving message, because it's not about that. It is about what God says about money and the importance that we have in our lives. So I want to tell you a couple of things, a couple of factors, all right? Important things that we need to know. I don't know if you're aware, but if any of you in this country, which most of us are, thankfully, if any of you make over 32,000 euros a year as a household, so if mom and dad work, if your young people work, if you make over 32,000 euros a year, you guys are in the first 1% in the world on income earners everywhere. So you guys might think, oh, but we're not rich. Oh, but I'm not rich.
Well, I'm telling you, my friend, if you make 32,000 euros in your house, you're already part of the first 1%, top 1% earners in the world. So, you know, sometimes we lose perspective because we think, oh, we live surrounded by all these things. This is normal. But, you know, I don't think any one of you had to walk 8 kilometers today to go and get water out of somewhere so that you can have a shower. Well, people don't even have a shower. So you can drink water. None of you did. Did anyone of you walk 8 kilometers? No. We actually bike 8 kilometers for fun. Other people have to bike 8 kilometers for need, to eat, to drink, to have benefit. And you may think, oh, it's just only a poverty, a small amount. Well, no. It's over 70% of the population. They don't have the basic needs to cover just to survive. But every one of us here in this place, I think, we are in a way better position. Now, when we might think, like, oh, yeah, but that's not important. It's not. And I learned, and that's the reason why for me it was important, because I grew up in a church where money, speaking about money, was sort of like, oh, no, you don't talk about money. Money is bad. No, you know, we don't talk about money because money cannot be good. It's greed. It's about things. And that's totally wrong. It's not at all. So when we have a few of the facts again, the Bible speaks about money or things related to money over 2,500 times. It speaks about praying 500 times. It speaks about salvation less than 300 times. So when you think about it, you know, and that's the good thing. This is not about what is more important than other. It was because God knew how important for us money had to be. So I'm not afraid. You know, a lot of people say, like, oh, you're not afraid speaking about money in church. Like, no, I'm actually excited. I love speaking about money in church because I believe that when God blesses us, we can make such a difference in this world. You know, one of the things, I talked to one of the entrepreneurs in India, one friend, entrepreneur, and he was thinking, hey, you know what? If the church just gets together and just manages to get 2,000 euros, you can change a whole village life with 2,000 euros. And I'm thinking sometimes, like, what? You know, we spend 2,000 euros on a television, you know, or more. Or we spend 2,000 euros on a bike. But we cannot think, like, how much difference we can make if God can use this in the future. So I want to talk to you because this is something that I'm very passionate about. Because the thing that I went when I was young, you know, I grew up in Mexico, and when I was young, I had the blessing to have a mom. I come from a single mother family. But I had the blessing to have a mom that actually believed in this principle and said, like, hey, you know what? God has called us to make a difference in everything we can. And it doesn't mean that every time it's going to go well. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have financial times where it's tough. But it means that we're going to trust God and we're going to live that and believing that God has put us in something that we can be a blessing always. No matter where you are, we can always be a blessing. The problem is the world has been telling us that everything we make is for us to consume. Everything you know, is just the assumption that everything you make is for your consumption. And that's the problem that we have. It's not the God has created money for a different thing. The Bible gives great advice about wealth, and this is very important. So I want to share with you some of the important principles about money, and I believe that when we grasp the principles, we understand a little bit more about how responsible we have to be with the blessing that God has put us in this land. Because every single one of us is responsible for what God has given us. So we have talents, we have gifts, but we also have the wealth that God has created us so that we can make a difference. So I'm going to tell you a couple of important principles about money. And first I want to read 1 Timothy 6, 7, part there. I love this part of the Bible because it talks about, you know, richness and about what is about wealth and good things, about those principles that God wants us to understand. It says, yet true godliness comes with contentment, it's in itself great wealth. So contentment is in itself great wealth. After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave it. But people who long to be rich fall into the temptation, and they are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires to plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people, craving money, have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. I love this part of the Bible because, you know, in many places in church, they have said, oh, money is not good. But that's not what it says. It says the love of money is not good. And what it really means is that, you know, we cannot be passionate about pursuing a career into making more and creating more and generating more. Because sooner or later, like the Bible says there, you're going to be in a destruction area. I don't know if you heard this principle of the hamster running, you know. When you have a hamster and you go in the wheel and the hamster goes really quick, but the wheel doesn't move. And a lot of us are stuck in a hamster wheel. Pursuing something because we think, oh, the more I have, when I get the big house, I'm going to be happy. When I get the best car, I'm going to be happy. When I get my new clothes, I'm going to be happy. But in reality, it's not true. And I don't know how many of people you know, but the more, you know, they get the new house, and maybe they're happy for a month. But after that, oh, it's not good enough. You know, there's a very big expression in America, keeping up with the Joneses. And what it means is like, are you looking at your neighbor to see what they have? Oh, I got my new car. Yeah, that's cool. Ooh, yeah, look at my new car. And then your neighbor buys a better car. Oh, no. Now you're not happy with your new car because you want the better car. And then, you know, someone else bought new clothes. Oh, look how cool those clothes are. And then all of a sudden, you get into a career where you start thinking, oh, the best is this and that. And I can tell you, why is this so important for me? Because I was part of it. When I was young, I got involved in this area where, you know, businesses were important and success was important. And to show success was very important. And I can just tell you what the Bible says there is that I got trapped in a career when I thought, oh, yeah, I'm successful. I'm traveling more. Look, you know, I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I'm wearing this and I'm driving this and this is what. And my life became, even though I was a Christian, my life became about what I had accomplished, what I had veiled. But I was the emptiest that I could be because I didn't understand that the principle is we need to do something with what you have. It's not get more with what you have. So it was something I had to do in the journey. And the few principles that I had to understand, it was the first principle. God is the owner of everything, so we need to be thankful and happy with what we have now. Who is the owner of everything? God is the owner of everything. And we tend to think, oh, no, but I'm the owner. I'm the one working for it. I'm the one making it happen. And, yeah, you might be the one making it happen, but God has to give you life and has to give you abilities and gifts so you can make it happen. Because I can tell you, if you were born in the middle of Africa or South America, in a poor village with no possibilities, what would you do then? Sometimes in this world that we have created, people can work as hard as they can. Some people say, like, oh, if you work hard, you will make it happen. Well, I know people that work harder than we can ever imagine, and they will never be able to get out of poverty. Why? Because the system has created a place so that they can never get out because we still love our 3 euro shirts. If you love your 3 euro shirt, you need to understand that someone is paying the price for it. And you might think, oh, I'm good, you know. I love these shops that sell all these 2, 3, 4 euros. It's amazing. And I can buy clothes every twice a week because they're not going to break me. Well, we have to think, as Christians, we have to think, hey, who's paying the price for that? If you think about it, who's making the fabric? Who's putting things together? Who's transporting these things? Who is paying the price for that 2 euro shirt? So as Christians, we need to understand that God is the owner of everything and that we have to be happy and content with everything we have now. There's no point of us worrying about money if we don't learn to trust the provider and be happy with what the provider gives us so that we can grow more. Because, you know, we can get into this road when we say, like, people tell us, oh, but you want more. You have to have more. And then you get to get more. And you know what is going to happen? your life is going to be less. You're going to shrink your capacity. You're going to shrink what you have because you're so focused about money that you think only about that. But what we need to understand, the Bible is very clear. We have to get the owner of everything. Be thankful and be happy with what you have. You know, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And a lot of us like to use that verse for many other things. But if you analyze the word he's talking about, he's talking about money. Because the whole context that he's speaking is like, I've been rich, I've been poor, I've been on top, I've been on the bottom, but I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It's a financial verse. It's not, I know it's very encouraging. I know it's very cool for, you know, if I'm going to an exam, I can go all things to Christ, give me strength. Well, if you didn't study, you can't. You know? God gives you strength, but sometimes my students think like that. I'm like, whoa. Okay. So God doesn't give you strength if you didn't study. But, you know, but it's a very encouraging verse, but it's a financial verse. You're going through good times, you're going through bad times. It doesn't matter because God is my provider. He gives me strength to go through it. So that's very important. And that leads us to the second principle that says, don't trust in your wealth, but trust in the wealth provider. I love what 1 Timothy 6:17 says. It's teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for an enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future so that they may experience true life. I love this verse. Because it actually says everything about what we are about. We are a church that believes that we're blessed to be a blessing. You know, I got very upset because we're now looking for an office. And when we come, the first thing that we say, oh, we are a nonprofit, we're a church. And the first thing people say is like, oh, but you don't have money to pay for it. Oh, but you're poor. And that really upsets me. Because it's the image that we have been selling to the world that church is poor. That church does not have resources. That church is not capable. But I read my Bible, and my Bible says that we have the owner of everything. And God has given us everything so we can be a blessing in the world. So if church doesn't speak about money, how do you think people are going to think about the church? Because we're here to be a blessing. Imagine if one day people turn around and say, those guys at City Life Church, man, some of them are going through tough times, but you know what? The one that is going through good times and is the owner of the business, he gives jobs to the one that is going through the bad times. So they actually have an ecosystem that just creates a blessing by itself and that moves forward. And just, you know, people, you should go there because people, you know, people are innovative. People think about business ideas. People think about how you can grow your business. And you know, once you get in, it's just an amazing group of people that will support you with everything they can. You know, it's not about all of us. We have to drive Audis and Mercedes outside. Hopefully we will. No, it doesn't matter, you know. It doesn't matter what we drive. Doesn't matter what. It's about the spirit. Because some of us might be called to drive the Mercedes, which is awesome. Great calling. God, please. No, you know, but it's a great calling. Because but then your sphere of influence changes. And your responsibility changes. Because the more is given, more is required. So some of us say like, oh, you know, I want to be the driver of the Mercedes. I want to have the big house. Okay, are you ready to take the responsibility for what you're doing? You know that you're going to go to heaven and God is going to tell you, what did you do with the millions that I gave you? You know, he's not going to just say, oh, yeah, come, don't worry. No, you know, we're going to be there saying, hey, what did you do with what I gave you? Because I gave you the ability to make money. I gave you the ability to open business. I gave you the innovation, creativity way of thinking. So why don't we create an ecosystem where we learn to trust God and not on the wealth that we have? But how many of us have we moved into a place where, the Netherlands, very common. Who do we trust? When we get out of a job, daddy government, because the social system is there, or insurance. That's another one. Insurance, you know, I have insurances for everything. That insurance, if I broke my toe, if I broke my knee, if in case I broke my toe or my knee, I have an insurance for the insurance. You know? And we tend to create a system where we learn to trust in our wealth and in our capacity, then instead of trusting in our provider. And you know what? Again, we're a blessing of a country. We thank God for social system. Thank God for the system that we have, because it's a proven system that when we take care of the poor, God will bless the land. So it is good that we have that system. But what is not good is that we as Christians get compared, and we just say like, oh, it's fine. I'm just going to stay here with whatever I'm getting from the government, instead of thinking, oh, God wants me to do more. God wants me to bless others. So I'm going to hang out with more people. I'm going to learn how to get out of this, how to find a good job, how to find a good, you know, a better position so I can be a better blessing. Because that's what God is saying to do. So people tend to trust more in their wealth and their possessions than in the creator of the wealth and possessions. And I'm wondering, if you got out of a job tomorrow, who would you trust? Are you trusting God? Or are you trusting the system? What if the system disappears? Who are you going to hang out with then? Then you're going to be crying, or you're going to say, God, I trust you because you are the provider. It's not my job. It's not my gift. It's you that has given everything for me. The third thing that I think that is important is money is for our enjoyment, but above all, it's for serving others. You know, it's not for consumption. It has a purpose for it. What we just read in the Bible verse that said the trust should be in God, which richly gives us all what we need for our enjoyment. But the important thing here, enjoyment is good, but tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. And I can tell you, you know, I'm not, of course, I'm not from the Netherlands, but why is the Netherlands famous for? For being generous? You know, if you go to a restaurant and it's worldwide known, should we go Dutch? Oh, generous. You know, you fight about who pays the bill. No, sadly, we have created this environment where we say, oh, Dutch is like, it's about equality. Oh, I pay what I use, you pay what you use, and then we are all equal. But you know what? The kingdom of God is not to say that. The kingdom of God said, like, hey, enjoy the money that you have, but enjoy it with others. Have fun with others. Bless others. Do good. Because doing good, you store your richness in another place. And that will give you life that is more abundant. And you know what? It was not until the time, I have a very good friend called Jeff Letts, and I learned so much from him. And when we hang out together, I just can't spend ages. And you know, his life is amazing. About, you know, he came from drug addiction and really poor things and being an orphan to like living on the streets to now being a blessed guy with, you know, a multimillionaire, but also with this concept. And he was the one telling me, you need to understand that God still wants us to have fun a lot. But there's no more fun than you showing up with a brand new laptop to a student that needs it right now. And just to say, hey, God told me to give you this laptop. There's no much fun than to go, you know, someone running with a big smile saying, what the heck happened? There's no much fun than paying someone's bill at the supermarket when you go on behind like, hey, can I pay for you? And just to watch the reaction. Oh, I can pay for myself. What do you think? Like, yeah, but you know what? I have a God that has blessed me. Can I bless you today? Maybe you can bless someone if you have enough money. But can I be a blessing to you? There's no much fun than to be able to do that. And that's something we've learned, you know. We moved from one country to another, and then all of a sudden I ended up with my wife, and we ended up with no job. The day that we arrived from our honeymoon, I went to my employer before, and he told me, which was just starting my job, and he told me, oh, you know what, we're not going to keep you. So I arrived brand new, you know, newlywed, we didn't have a house at that time. We didn't have a house in Sydney. We didn't have anything, and I had no job. And what I had to learn is to say, God, I have no clue how this is going to work, but I trust you. I trust you above everything. And we prayed together. We believed together. And it didn't matter. I had to go back to work at IKEA, which was a place that I love working at. So I had to go back to the basic. My wife was making sandwiches, and we learned to be in the basics. But God said, you know what? I'm going to bless you with everything we had. And we ended up in a little tiny house. But we had a tennis court. We had a swimming pool. We had everything we ever dreamed of imagining. It was not big. It was not fancy. But God blessed us in an amazing way because we learned to trust him, not in our gift and in my talent. So I have learned. If someone tells me, look, it's not going to work out, you're not going to have a job, I just say, like, no problem, thank you. Thank you, because I know my God has something bigger and better for me. So I'm not going to hold on to this job that I'm not happy with if I'm going to trust God for something better. So that's what it is about. So it's about enjoyment, but about serving others. And the fourth thing. Wealth was designed so that we can build generations and experience true life. We need to understand that the time we have in this earth is limited. And the reason why we have it is so that we can use our gifts, our talents, our financial wealth, so that we can bless others and the next generation. That's what we're so passionate about, a church that actually has the resources to say, imagine if we were together. I was in this week in an area here together with an innovation group. I just sort of landed there. I have no clue how. And they came they start saying, oh, social innovation, and how do we take care of the community? How do we create ideas to make money so that the people actually take care of each other? And I was stuck in that conversation. And all of a sudden, people start asking questions. What can church do as a volunteer world, where we can bring ideas and innovation, and how can you think? And I'm like, man, we're full of opportunities. Imagine if we had the money to say, like, hey, you know what? We're going to put a business incubator, and people are going to come from the community, people that are come from poverty areas, and we're going to teach them business. We're going to teach them the ability, because we have a bunch of people that have amazing gifts and knowledge, and we're going to teach them how to do life. And not only that, we have enough money so that we can actually seed some investment so that we can actually create an ecosystem where people can get out of poverty. Imagine if we have that possibility where the church says, you know what, no matter, here it is, there's €500,000 open 25 business, bring people out of poverty, and then with the money that they return on investment, we can even bless more. Imagine if we can do that. Because it was designed so that we can build generations and experience true life. So my friend, when we talk about money is not bad. It's actually a blessing. But it's meant to be so that we can help others. There is no point of us fighting this race where who's going to be the best, who's going to drive the best, who's going to wear the best. You know, some of the numbers when I was doing research are alarming. I don't know if you're aware, but this generation of lifestyle here in the Netherlands, we actually buy and throw away 36 kilos, in average, 36 kilos of clothes every year. 36 kilos. We buy it. We wear it. Sometimes we don't wear it. I don't know how many of you have something in your closet that still has a label on it, you know? I know here no one does it, but I'm sure that some of us have, just in case I need it, I can store it. How many of us have a mobile phone that still works fine and well, but you need the latest version, and you have it on your drawer? You open the drawers, and you see 10 mobile phones. Like, oh, but this is old. Well, what the heck do you hang out for them? Why don't you look for an opportunity to bless someone else? Someone else might need it. Someone else could use it. Oh, but I need it. Maybe I use it. Well, if you don't, then don't. You know, just give it away. Bless someone with everything you have. Because God wants us to be a blessing. And that's what we are about. We're a church that raise up the bar on innovation and creation, because we believe that we're called here not to be poor, because poor, there's nothing wrong with poverty, but it's, if it's in your mind and if it's in your heart that you're poor, oh, it's good to be poor. Well, no, it's not, because God did not create us to be poor. God created us to be wealthy in everyone so we can help each other and help others. We've been sold the idea that poverty is righteous and holy. It is not true. I don't see it in the Bible anywhere. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, not in money. But people, oh, blessed are the poor. No. They're blessed. Everyone is blessed, of course. We're all blessed. But the purpose for us is you have the wealthy, you have the poor. The wealthy help the poor so that everyone is wealthy. And then we just multiply it and multiply it and multiply it. So I want to challenge you a couple, just really quick, just to close. A couple of technical financial principles. And that's why we're going to be running a financial seminar that I learned from my friend Jeff. Because I believe financial freedom is so important in our church. I would love to be able to see everyone financially free. Free from the oppression, free from the oppression of wanting more, free from the oppression of poverty, free from the oppression of debt. Because we believe that God has given us some tools. So some keys of financial principles. The first key, give 10. You know, give 10% of what you have. Now, a lot of people say like, oh, but that's old rule, or it's another thing, it's too much. Well, you know what? The richest people in the world actually practice this because they know it works. People that are not Christian, they actually practice it. Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, the richest people on earth, they actually tell you, if you want to become wealthier, you have to learn to give 10% at least of your wealth, because it's supernatural. What happens in your money, it's supernatural. You do the natural, God does the super. So if you work hard, you give supernaturally, you're blessed. So giving is not a chance, just like a nice thing to do. It's a principle of life. If you give 10, you actually bless others through giving. So it's very important. The next one, save 10%. It's so important we understand that savings is so that we can live in a long-term perspective, so we can leave something to our generations. And I know sometimes in the Netherlands, you know, the oldies. Sorry, some old. We have like two oldies here, myself included. Yeah, sadly, I mean, the old in the church. But, you know, we tend to think, oh, you know, I work hard for it. I'm going to use everything I can. So if I die, my kids are not going to get anything. I'm going to enjoy it until I die. You know what the Bible says? That you should work for your next generation. That you should build something, storage for your next generation, so you can bless them, so they can be even a bigger blessing. So imagine if we were a church that said, like, hey, you know what? I'm going to lead my child as much as I can through my savings and investments. And I'm going to teach them how to be a blessing and investment. And all of a sudden, you have a group of people that is ready to take the world and change dramatically a whole village, a whole community, just because they're able to do it. So saving 10 is so important. The concept of saving is not so that you can store it, so you can hold on to it. It's so that you can learn how to use it when it's needed and how to give it away when it's needed. And the next one is live on the rest. Learn to live on the rest. But that means a couple of things. A lot of us are like, oh, well, I can live on the rest. I can do everything I can. No, that's not true. The Bible is very clear. We need to be good stewards of what God has given us. You know, for that got five, he got five back because he was good steward, not because he liked the master liked him. He got five more because he was given more, because he did well. So that's the same principle. So how do we live, well on the rest? Well, the first thing, get rid of debt and learn to live with what you have. Learn to live with what you have. Oh, but I want the latest iPhone. Do you have the money to pay for it? No, but I can get it on loan. Do you need it? Not really. But I can get it alone, on a loan. Oh, well, great. Do you know that you become the servant of the person that you ask money for? And that might cause you a problem. You know, so it's very important. Learn to live with what you have and build up so that you can be a blessing for others. Get rid of the debt that you have. It's very important. And the last one, if you don't tell your money where to go, someone else will tell it for you. Have a financial plan. Create the most horrible word in the financial
world is budget. Create a budget. Tell your money where to go before it arrives. Say, like, you know what? I'm going to go this. I'm going to pay this. I'm going to buy this. And I'm going to have 20 euros to buy new clothes because that's something I really like. Okay, that's great. And save for better or save for other. But tell your money where to go before someone else tells it where it needs to go. Because if we don't do that, my friends, someone else will tell it where to go. And it's going to be either American Express, Visa, CNA, well, not CNA, well, I don't know, Primark, or Hudson Bay, or, you know, depending what shop, or Jaguar, or Mercedes, or, you know, or Zalando. Zalando tells you very quick where to go. Yeah, so, you know, so be very conscious about it. Cool? So that's, sorry I went a bit longer, but I just wanted to tell you, it is so important that we get this. The spirit of our house is that it's not we don't talk about money so we can boast, oh, yeah, God, you know, we're not a, what they called a, what they called a prosperity teaching. There's no prosperity teaching here because we believe, yeah, God, it's not because you see it and you confess it, you're going to get it. No, sometimes you confess it and you're not going to get it. But if you think God has blessed me God, so I can be a blessing, I believe that's the gospel. The gospel is just good news that we have to share salvation, hope, and future. And that's what it is about.